It is 3:35 on the Mike McFeely Show on this third. I'm still looking at the thing every time I say the day of the week, by the way, Pedro. Thursday afternoon on the mighty 790 KFGO. Reminder, at 4:05, we will give away those Justin Timberlake tickets that we have. We have three people entered, and we'll have a little trivia contest regarding concerts in the Fargo Dome over the past, 20-plus years, 1992 or 93, the Dome opened. So we'll do that at 4:05. Pinto has come up with a bunch of questions that we'll give our three participants. Before we get to all of that, though, I want to reset what we're going to do here. On the program yesterday, we had Morehead Police Chief David Ebinger on, and we talked about heroin, because heroin has been in the news lately with the death of Philip Seymour Hoffman and with the numbers coming out of Hennepin County that there have been 58 deaths in the past year or in 2013 related to heroin just in Hennepin County in Minnesota itself. And I thought, you know, God, heroin's been in the news a lot, so let's talk with the chief of whether or not this is a problem in our community. And it turns out that it is a problem in our community. Heroin does exist in Fargo-Moorhead, and it worries people, and it should worry you if you have children or grandchildren or nieces or nephews or whatever else. It does exist in Fargo-Moorhead. As a result of that conversation, I had people reach out to me last night on Facebook and tell me that they knew people who were addicted, or one person in specific lost a relative, a very close relative, to a heroin overdose. And I had some other people say, you know, look, I was on heroin and I was hooked on heroin. And one of those people was a young woman named Amy Hewitt, who lives in Fargo. And Amy told me her story. And I said, well, that's very interesting. And so I reached out to Amy and said, would you mind coming to my program tomorrow and talking about this and talking about your history with being addicted to heroin? And Amy said, you know, I would like to do that. Yes, I would like to talk about this and get the story out there. And let's do that. And so I have in studio with me right now, Amy Hewitt of Fargo, North Dakota. Hello, Amy. Welcome to the program. Thanks for stopping by.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So tell us your background. Who are you? Where were you from? And how did this whole story start with you and heroin?
Actually, I went to high school in a place called Northfield, Minnesota. It's just south of the cities. And that's basically where my issue started. I grew up in a lot of places because of the job my father had, but I went to high school there, and there were two colleges, two very affluent colleges in Northfield. For those of you that don't know, they're St. Olaf and Carleton College. Very well-to-do schools. You need a lot of money to attend. And the people that taught at those schools were paid very well. So the people I went to high school with, their folks had a lot of money as well. So there were a lot of drugs in my high school. This was in the mid-80s. I didn't know a lot about heroin. We didn't hear a lot about it. My story started with my best friend, her brother died. And her mother was prescribed prescription drugs to get her through. They were for anxiety, depression. Mm-hmm. We thought it'd be fun to try them. And we both got addicted to them. But you only had a way of getting them so often, because she started noticing they were disappearing. But once you get that high, you want to keep getting that high. And then it got expensive to try and figure out, how do I keep getting this high? And we realized, oh, there is something out there that will do this. And the colleges were where we went, because we realized these college kids know something we don't know at the high school. They know how to use this drug, and it was heroin. And you could either snort it, you could shoot it up in your arm, between your toes. It's not pretty. So they taught us how to shoot it. which was the best high, and it was just like the prescription drugs, only better. And that was in 1984. I was in ninth grade.
You were in ninth grade.
I was
when
in
you started using
ninth
heroin.
Grade.
So how long did it take you before you were addicted to heroin? Because I would presume if you were addicted to the prescription drugs,
right.
That you were, was it an immediate addiction that you?
It's not immediate as some of the drugs are. Like you talk about, we talk about things like meth where you shoot it your first time and they're addicted. Mm-hmm. It's over a period of time. You build up a tolerance and then you know you want more. I would say by the time I was a sophomore, I knew I needed it. And dealers in my community, because we were so close to Minneapolis, just get on the interstate and 30 miles, you're in Minneapolis, down to Minneapolis. I mean, it was so cheap. At the time, it really hasn't changed over time. You could get, for $10, you could get a dime bag, which is what we called it, or a pill, as you called it. And if you shot it up, that would last you longer than taking the prescription drugs, because you would need a smaller amount, because you would mix it with water. I hate to be so descriptive. But it destroys you. I equate it to, most people know Alice in Wonderland, and they talk about going down the rabbit hole. And it's like going down a rabbit hole. But it's a very bad hole. And you don't, not everyone comes out. All of us go in, but not all of us come out.
So when you became addicted and you knew you were addicted, then what happens then? You have to have the drug? And you have to get a hold of it and you have to inject it. And then do you realize this is happening? Do you know you're addicted? Do you know that you're in a mess?
It happens so gradually that you don't realize it's happening to you at first. You know something's going on, and you know, oh, I'm going to party, so I need this. But then eventually it's, I'm not going out, but I need this anyway. I'm not going to a party. I'm going to sit home and try and do this history paper. I'm in high school. I'm a good student. I'm a singer. I'm a good kid. I'm perceived to be this really good kid. But yet my life is falling apart. And my family was falling apart at the time. And I realized I was covering up everything that was going on in my life. And it was making me feel better. So then it was like, I want it because it's making me feel better. And you don't equate it to being addicted. You just say, oh, it's just making me feel better. So I just want more and more.
How did your life change? Because you said you were a good student.
Yes.
You were a bright kid.
Yes.
You were only in high school.
Yes.
You were only in high school. You were a singer. You were in activities. You had friends. You continued to go to school.
Yes.
Did all those things.
Yes.
So how did your life change then?
There came a point when an intervention was done at my high school because they knew something was wrong. My parents were brought in. My parents didn't believe anything because I still appeared at the time to be fine. I was very thin, but they thought it was okay. They thought everything was okay because I never showed my arms, never wore short sleeve shirts, which I still don't to this day because I'm ashamed. But I still appeared okay if you actually looked at me, because a heroin addict, when you perceive a heroin addict, you think of that person on Skid Row, and that's not mm-hmm. the case. We are your neighbor. You don't realize what's going on. I just lost weight because I wasn't eating. I was high so much of the time. That just became the norm, and that's who people knew. I just lost reality.
Did your parents did not know?
No, they did not.
Do you believe that they didn't suspect? And I'm not asking you to throw your parents under the bus, but do you think they suspected, or that they...
I think my parents were so caught up in their own mess
okay.
that they just put it aside. And I guess that is throwing them under the bus. Yes, I just did.
I need to take a break, Amy. We need to take some commercial breaks here. You're going to stick around for one more segment, and I want you to take us very quickly through your recovery and where you've gone since then, because you live in Fargo, you have a family, life is good, everything is fine, I presume. I don't know you well, but it sure appears that everything is fine, so I want to get that side of the story out, too, that,
yep,
that
no
you've
problem.
Recovered and everything is okay with Amy Hewitt. This is just a few minutes left in this hour of the Mike McFeely Show. Amy Hewitt of Fargo, our guest in studio. And she has been courageous enough to come on the radio today and tell all of you about her battle with heroin addiction many years ago when she was a teenager. And Amy, when we left off the story, you had just had an intervention at your school because people had realized that there's something going on here. How did you recover? To walk us through the recovery process. And I know it's an ongoing recovery because
right.
it's still a battle for you every day.
Every single day.
You're a recovering heroin addict. That never stops.
Never
changes. How did you get clean back when you were in high school?
Actually, I continued until I was 19. I continued to use. I went to Hazleton, which is one of the premier facilities in the world. But there are facilities out there everywhere. So if anyone you know is using, there is a place for them. Getting clean is hard. But well worth it, because it only takes one time of sticking that needle in your arm and you're dead. Heroin will kill you. People think it's the simple drug, and it's not. It will kill. But you can recover. And it takes a lot of guts. And it is an everyday battle, and it will go on for the rest of your life. And it's something that I battle every day, and I'll be 45 next week, and I battle it every day. And now I have two absolutely fabulous children who are adults, and I am so thankful to God. And a group that surrounds me, and a husband that supports me and puts up with me because he doesn't get addiction. But there are people out there that do get it. And that's the people I want to reach, because you can get help. And I want people to destigmatize this drug, because it's not who you think it is. Like I said, it's your neighbor. It's the kid down the street. It's the kid in the car with you.
If somebody suspects that somebody they know or love is using heroin or any other addictive drug, what should they do? I mean, what's the first step that they should take?
For me, it was an intervention with a group of friends. I had to sit there and listen to the stories that they had, that they thought I was going to die, and they didn't want to lose me. That was hard to listen to. That people actually cared about me and thought I was going to die. At the point, I didn't really care if I died. but they did. And that made a difference. And I was willing to try treatment. And that is what it took.
Was treatment successful the first time you went through it? Or was it that an ongoing battle? Did you relapse?
For heroin, it worked. I relapsed on other things. But for drugs, I've been clean. I am now a recovering alcoholic. That is a battle that I fight because we do replace it with other things. That's very common. And I am always willing to share my story because that is part of a 12-step program. Because if you can save one person, then you've done your job.
How important was it during your recovery process and your ongoing recovery process?
Yes.
Because you said your husband is very supportive because he doesn't understand. But when you were first going through the heroin addiction, how important was it to have support at that time? Because when we talk about this, and I don't understand it either. I don't understand addiction.
Right.
But I would think that it would really help to have somebody there to have your back all the time.
And for me, it was either Narcotics Anonymous or Alcoholics Anonymous, because at that point, I didn't have a family to support me. I didn't have that structure because I had to change all my friends because they were all users. So you need to build that basis of support, whatever it may be. And if it's those organizations, then you just immerse yourself in it and it becomes everything to you. And you hold on for dear life and you say, I need you. And are you going to be there at 3 a.m. when I want to use? Can I call you? And they will say, yes, absolutely.
And the reason I wanted to get that out there is because if there are, the reason you came on, number one, was to tell your story so it might help somebody in the situation.
Yes.
And I wanted parents to know, or grandparents or friends or aunts or uncles, that if they could support that person who is using and is addicted, that is a huge part of this.
That
right?
That is so important, to have those people there to love you and care about you, even if you don't get it. Just love them.
Thank you, Amy. It took guts to do what you did today and tell people about this and to tell your life history. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
And hang in there, okay?
Oh, well, absolutely.
you're doing, and tell people you're doing okay in life.
I am
there
doing okay.
There is life after addiction.
Life after addiction.
Thank you. Amy Hewitt of Fargo. We'll be back in the Mike McFeely Show. Don't go away.